It is 12 o'clock and I'll call to order Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting. And we'll start with number two, agenda announcements.
No agenda announcements.
I'd like a quick announcement. We'll welcome new board member.
Thank you.
Doug Hooton from MedStar. Glad you're here.
Thanks.
Good that we have a full board at this moment in time. So we'll move to item number three, consider approval for consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
Move approval of consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And motion carries. The agenda is approved. Move to item number four, presentations.
Okay, first one is an update on the CP project.
Good morning. We are about halfway through our upgrade for 7.2 that I mentioned last board meeting, so we're about halfway there. Blue Mound was our last cut on April 3rd, which brought our new percentages to 62% of the seats and 72% of the PSAPs that have been cut over to Vesta. Our next cut is scheduled on Grand Prairie for April 24th. That's next week. And Fort Worth FD scheduled for 6-6. And in the meantime, we have a lot of meetings keeping us busy with Fort Worth PD. And that's all I have unless y'all have questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are keeping track on the construction builds with Azle, Dallas, Fort Worth, and
Westover Hills,
thank you. We were on site with Azle last week. And we stay consistently in attendance at their planning meetings and on site doing various visual on site visits because unfortunately people forget. And we don't want to be in a situation where we were with the previous build where they completely ignored what we asked them to do. And basically we said, you can do that. Just let us know where we're going to send your 911 calls because it's not there. So we stay on the road with the various builds we have and the upgrades for that very reason. Doesn't matter how we spec it out. Somewhere along the way, something will get dropped or forgotten. And unfortunately, they're very vital pieces, as we almost had with Azle with the network connection that would have significantly impacted us. So for those that do call me at my desk and I'm not there, I even bought a new hard hat. Because we are spending a lot of time and a lot of meetings making sure these builds and upgrades work well. So the team is doing very good and keeping things on track there. All right, we did request the board to approve a property condition assessment for this building. We did get one done by CODA. The part that we included in your package, starting with page 12 to page 15, is basically the financial review of the building. I do have a significantly large document that's about 78 pages that I can email the board. I didn't want to print it, which just kind of breaks down the various things that they saw, the pictures that go with many of the items on this list, where on the building they are. So if it is desired during our budget retreat, we can go over this more in depth because it will take a significant amount of time. But the highlights are, if you look at the very first, where it says year one, 2019, those are things that the assessors view and things that require immediate action within the next 12 months. In particular, if we're looking forward to doing any type of renovation to this building. Significant things of note, for example, the B3 references the concrete stair. Some of the things that we got dinged on had to do with ADA compliance. A lot of the stuff here is not compliant. We made some minimal changes last year when I got here, referenced the doors. But some of the significant ADA compliance changes are quite costly. So we wanted to make sure we had an idea of what that looked like. So one of them was the concrete stair that was placed in the parking lot in front of training that leads from the back end of the training to the front end of the training door. That is not ADA compliant. It is not flush to the concrete, and to be honest, if someone's parking in front of that, when you walk down the stairs, you're walking literally into a car. So just things like that, kind of common sense things. We talked about the tree in the back of the building. We recently had the leak that was caused by the large tree. The estimate there is about $16,000 to pull that tree out and then replace it with five trees in accord to the Fort Worth zoning nationalists and et cetera, the different committees that have a say on historic trees or trees of that size. Another large item, ticket item, for those who have been here or visited while we've had significant rain, we do have quite a few sealant issues in the glass atrium ceiling. The replacement of that would be $167,000. When we tried to get the roofers to give us an idea what a repair would be, because of the double coated glass and the way it's inlaid, it's not a simple repair. They literally would have to take large portions apart. And the fear is that because of the age and the significant damage to the ceilings in between, there may be some collapsing. So whatever we decide to do to avoid the leak is not going to be an easy task. So they gave us the price for the full replacement, which was $167. Let's see here. The front door, we consistently have an issue where the front door jams. And we've had the door alarm company come out a couple of times and look at it, and it is not ADA compliant. So to replace the two glass doors in the front of the building would cost us around $25,000. So those are some of the highlights slash lowlights of the report. So if you look at the very end on page 15, it gives you the full, kind of like a five to seven year assessment of things that anticipate the need repairs over time. And year one, if we don't replace the glass atrium, is about $142,500. So that the building structure is not capable for a second floor, which we kind of assumed. We figured that would be the answer to that. And for us to extend the building in any kind of degree with a second floor, et cetera, would take some significant work. So they wanted us to, they came away letting us know that as well. Again, during the budget retreat, we can delve deeper into this and look at the pictures and talk about that. But we did want to give you guys an overview of the final report.
So, just for me, also like we consider, is this building's capacity sufficient in the next 25 years?
It's not sufficient for now.
Okay, so maybe there's some sort of analysis that needs to be conducted on whether we should invest this kind of money in this facility or should we start looking. So if you could bring that to the next retreat as far as something for us to consider.
Okay. Yeah. That's part of the plan. I wanted to have this done first so we could see what this building capabilities were and what the potential additional cost would be because of its age and unique traits, i.e. the glass atrium.
Right. Anybody else have a comment for Shinar? Okay, so if you do that, help us see the bigger picture also, that'd be very helpful. So we'll move to the next item.
Okay, the next item is our Texas 911 implementation document. In our previous board meeting, it was mentioned the expectation for the executive director to bring some implementation details to the board, reference Texas 911. And basically, we kind of reviewed this last summer, both here and the mayors and with the commissioners. So I just brought the highlights today with the details of nothing more than implementing the technology itself. So we did mention to the commissioners and the mayors last year, as well as the board, that we wanted to wait until the CP project was completed, with the anticipated due date being the end of this year. So we did express that. So currently, we are about 72%, 72% as Sarah mentioned, complete as of this month. And the completion will allow, once it's done, will allow for us to upgrade all of the PSAPs at one time instead of having four or five options if we would have rushed and tried to do something sooner than that. The text to 911 feature would go over the Sonic Ring, which is a ring in which Tarrant County has the only traffic on. It is designed as a self-healing ring. It's an IP network that we currently have our CPE telephony service that goes over it. The text to 911 traffic would go on that same ring or network. The video and pictures will not come over the network with the text. However, there are options for law enforcement agencies to receive them if they so choose. That can be done at the jurisdiction's request. Because of our Sonic Ring, we do have several layers of firewalls and security monitoring, as well as continuous monitoring by both the district and our service providers.
So let me ask a quick question on that. When you talk about police could implement themselves, does that mean that we're going to assist them with implementing, or they're doing their own?
Basically, once the provider allows for text or video to come in, the jurisdictions would request the ability to receive that, and then the products or the agencies or the businesses, I should say, allows for separate parsing of that data to go into, currently it's an email format, to whatever email address the jurisdictions provide. So they still have access to it. The PSAPs that get it now currently only send it to a supervisor's email, and then the law enforcement comes in and downloads copies or they forward it to them for use.
Right, but would the county have any role in that? Does Tarrant County have any role in that element?
I don't know what the technical changes that we would have to work with them, but as far as us sending it or approving it, no, it would be the jurisdiction.
Okay, so that's clearly delineating, we're just doing the text.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, this is our Sonic Ring for those who have not been benefited from previous presentations. We do have continuous monitoring for CP network. It is a closed ring, so the security concerns that keep coming up, we're trying to dissuade them because they don't. The same concerns that you for security would be applied to our phone calls as well. It's the exact same network for which the 911 phone calls come in right now on our CPE product. So nothing will change, no windows will open, no one else will get on the network. It's the same network, the same devices. It's just we're using a different aspect or programming or media from those devices. That is it.
So will the text message being transmitted, will it just be text messaging, or will it carry other types of information within the text?
It will only be text.
Okay.
No photos, no.
Again, if the jurisdictions want that, they can request that, and they can receive that on a separate platform.
Yeah, I think the board, that's all fine. If you could, maybe at our retreat, you could more definitively delineate that so we can see that more clearly. For I'm struggling with that myself as far as links, photos, WAV files, things like that could be attached to a text message.
Well, it's really no different than today. If I were to text right now 911, I would get a message that says, you can't accept it. If, when text becomes available, if I try to send something that's not in English or picture or symbol, I will also get a rejection. It will not go through. So it's no different than however wide you open it, is what you allow in.
Well, I think you're doing, that's exactly what we need, so we can talk to the stakeholders and make them more definitively aware of what it is and it is not. So that would be helpful for us in sort of a formal way to help with the communication strategy on this. Because I think there's a lot of expectation that it'll do more than what we're probably going to do. So.
We're used to that in 911.
Oh, yeah.
So, all that takes is very good education. All right, so as previously mentioned, when we did our research last summer, the install or the initiation of Texas 911 will cost us about $500,000, and then the maintenance annually will be about $250,000. And both of those will be funded by the district, just like the telephone services are. It is part of the 911 system. In reference to the 6 months that was previously mentioned by law, by the FCC, when a PSAP is prepared to or looking to do Texas 911, they are required to give the telephony services or providers a minimum of 6 months to get the services turned on, per se. And that we allow the FCC to know that this is where we're going for, and then the 6 month window would start. A valid request to the FCC for Texas 911 says that the PSAP certifies that it is technically ready to receive 911 text messages in the format requested. The appropriate local or state 911 service governing authority has specifically authorized the PSAP to accept and, by extension, the covered text provider to provide text and 911 service. And the requesting PSAP has provided notification to the covered text provider that it meets the foregoing requirements. Registration by the PSAP in the database may be available to the FCC in accordance with required established in connection therewith, or any other written notification reasonably acceptable to the covered text provider. So in other words, we have to show to the FCC that we did make AT&T and various carriers aware that we would like them to turn it on, the date that we made this notification, because that starts the 6 months window. And that just emphasizes that. But this is with notify our service partners that need to turn on Texas 911 in our district. Again, it is already in our product. It's not something that they have to add to the product. It truly is turning it on. We would contact Vesta, Motorola, /AT&T to initiate the technology change process. And if, in fact, we use the timetable previously designed or discussed, then our July 1st, 2020 would be the advisement to the FCC of the readiness status.
You expect any additional demand in staff with the service? Any demand from staff for the service?
No.
You'll not be asking for additional staff in 2020?
No. Not for this, no.
Okay.
Nope.
Anybody else?
You said it would only accept English text?
It will accept the common letters for our alphabet. If it is not in English, it will be up to the PSAPs to kick a message back that says, please call, we do not have an interpreter. So there's canned messages, but if it's Arabic or Chinese or any language that does not use the A to Z alphabet that we're familiar with, it will kick it back. It will not give them the impression that their message went forward, and then say we receive something back from PSAP saying we don't understand what you wrote.
I was just going to say, you know, at our last board meeting, we had a number of agencies and folks commenting, you know, about how important they believe this is and how vital. And so one of the things that as I sit on this board, I sit as a representative of the Mayor's Council. So I represent the 41 cities in Tarrant County that all participate in this process. So I was fortunate we had a Mayor's Council meeting following that board meeting, so I made sure I was on the agenda, and I shared with the mayors who were there, and Judge Whitley, who is sitting in the room, who was looking at me the same way he's looking at me right now that day, and shaking his head at me. But again, I expressed to the group that, you know, this board and Tarrant 911, we support moving this forward and doing this, you know, and we're just, you know, trying to work everything out. So I appreciate you bringing this presentation, you know, a concise presentation to say, here's what we can do and here's the limitations and how we're going to limit what we do and trying to set a timeline. So I do appreciate that. But I just wanted to share with this board that I did share that with the Mayor's Council at our last meeting, that we're trying to head down this path and we're doing, you know, trying to do everything we can to make it implemented as in a timely manner.
Right. And I think as transparently as possible too, so we can establish a clear expectation of the PSAPs and how we'll... Judge, you want to say anything to the board?
I mean, I just, Commissioner's Court supports this enthusiastically. I think each city has got, you know, if they choose they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. But I think to make it available is something that it's time for us to step up with the rest of the counties in the North Texas area and be part of that deal.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Based on what was communicated at the last meeting to the people who were in attendance and by extension the public, I would move that we accept the presented implementation plan strategy.
I'd be happy to second that unless there's some issue with that.
No issue with that. Any? I think the only thing I would add to it is that at the retreat that we get a more detailed descriptive what the system can and cannot do, so we formulate some sort of broader communication strategy so we can create a clear expectation of those who are out there receiving this service.
And I'll agree with that, but I think if we do the formal accepting, which is what we indicated that we would do as soon as we received it, then that allows the district staff to start having the same kind of communication planning sessions with each of our members' CSAPs as they're having now with the CPE upgrade.
Sure. So what I'm interpreting is that would be a July 2020 implementation date. That would be the targeted.
Correct.
Anybody have an issue with that? Okay, so we have a motion on the table. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, so we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which I believe is...
Purchases over $25,000.
Purchase over $25,000.
And I will have, I don't know, Kevin, when we wanted to... Marty?
Yeah, this is for the purchase of administrative network firewalls. The current firewalls we have in place are kind of old and they do not support the security scanning and segmentation that we want to do in the network. This quote includes three firewalls, threat prevention and protection, and support subscriptions for a year.
So as part of my initiative last year when we had our retreat, we talked about strategic planning. One of the big concerns, even with our security report we received from MCP, was the administrative security aspect. The board approved the promotion of Danny to the security analyst, and he's been doing some amazing things for us to get us on the right track. Soon I will introduce a couple of our new techie guys that have walked in the door, so if you go get them for me. And they've all come to the table and really brought in some excellent ideas on how to better secure our network. And to Monty's point, we are working with some significantly outdated Band-Aid situations, and we need to just take the plunge and get it right.
I've never been so happy. So yes, the security issue is paramount here, and I think this is good to hear. As long as we're staying current is the key, I guess.
Yeah, we're just trying to tighten up the security.
This is the administration network, not the...
That is correct.
Right.
That was that concern between us and them.
Yeah, this one's got the email on it, so yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So just one budget type question. So it's $5,320, which is the PSAP furniture line item in the budget.
Okay. I still don't have those memorized.
I just not take a look. Not that I had it memorized, but I'm just making sure that doesn't impact that, because it's large enough to cover this expense.
Oh, I got you. That's what you're asking. Yeah. Okay, let me look at that. I think we may have. It's definitely a typo.
Right after your presentation.
That's what I was looking for. 5320's office equipment. Okay, yeah.
Right, but in the budget, 5320 is PSAP furniture.
Oh, okay. Good catch. We'll fix those numbers.
So should we table this and...
Can we just amend it? Can we just amend it? Motion to the right account?
You're not required to table it. I think we can deal with it right now.
Okay.
Just tell us what fund it's coming out of.
It should be 5311. Well, pause, hold on a moment. Which one should it be?
5320.
I think it's 5320.
PSAP furniture.
5320 is just PSAP furniture.
5321, PSAP equipment. 5321, PSAP equipment.
Shouldn't be PSAP equipment, or office equipment. It should be office.
5311? 5311?
Is that right, Neil?
Yes, that says office equipment, furniture and equipment.
But there's enough money in it.
Can we table this for about 5 minutes while Kevin checks something on the budget?
Sure.
Are we able to do that, Wayne?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We can move to...
That's okay.
I have to deal with budget stuff.
Yes.
I understand, no, that was...
Appreciate that.
That was perfect.
So we'll move to executive director report.
Okay, so we'll get the busy folks up and recognized and back on their way. You do see some new faces in the room, so we'll introduce them real quick. We have Tio, who is working with Thomas in our IT network field. He's IT with Thomas and network with Monty and Richard. And so he just came aboard a few weeks ago. We're really excited to have him here. Brought in some great ideas already.
Right.
So welcome him to the district.
From where?
I originally came from Tri-County Electric Cooperative. That's where I came, that's where I was before I came here, so. Then ran a few auto parts stores and management and a few other things, so, yes.
And he'll be fixing our cars on the side.
Yeah. I am a car person, so.
That's good to know.
It's a win-win. All right, and then from New Mexico, we have Robbie McCormick. She came to us as executive director from New Mexico. She took some time off due to hubby changes and was looking to move to Texas, and we were very glad to snag her as our training coordinator. And sitting next to her, much to Chief Spivey's chagrin, is Sophia Brown. She is our lead trainer. We took her from Chief Spivey. He so graciously loaned her out to us right after Chantel.
I don't think there was any grace there. It was a very stern punishment for your staff at my location.
The next board meeting, I shut my door. I was trying to avoid him, and it didn't work. So we love having her as well. She, prior to being with Irving for several years, she does have a master's degree and has done some great work in the public safety mental health field, so that will add an additional lift for us as we will continue our widening our areas as far as the training for 911 telecommunicators. So we're happy to have her. And last but not least, another theft, NetCom.
Yep, I came from InTech.
InTech, I'm sorry.
That's all right. InTech prior to here, and then Addison for 16 years before they did their consolidation. So I'm 19 years old.
And he will be our implementation specialist as Travis moves over into the interoperability position.
Okay, great.
So we'd like to welcome all of them to the fray.
You've all made a great decision to come here, and we're excited you're here. So welcome to the team. Thank you.
All except for more. He's not here, so thank you. He's not smiling.
We're going to make you two shake hands.
We hugged it out. I tried to make Chantel my buffer, but she ran the opposite direction for some reason. I don't know. All right. Real quick, this past Saturday, we did have the public safety telecommunicator event. We did get some significant rain. We did not see the ARC truck float by, but it was pretty close. We had a great turnout, and we want to say thanks to the mayor and to Mr. Brunson for hanging out with us. It was a nice turnout, and we had it wind up with a twofer because they canceled the game about an hour in, so everybody still got to take advantage of the all-you-can-eat part and hang out and enjoy music and et cetera, and then we get to catch the game again in June. So that was very nice, well attended, and we appreciate everybody's efforts there. We recently received a request for transcription of our board minutes, and I actually, it was a very good request because it was something that I had noticed at some point and just put it in the back of my file cabinet, and this individual brought it to the forefront. It was an individual from the hard of hearing community who, when asked, did you listen to the board meeting, he said, I can't. So, in all fairness and in tradition to what board meeting notes should look like, we will begin to transcribe the board meetings and allow the full meetings to be reflected on the website. We will be backtracking till January so that the individuals who wanted to hear the public hearing will have access to that. So, when you go on the site, you will see more detailed and exact board minutes reflective of what was actually said, for so that we are ADA compliant and reaching all of the citizens of the county that need to keep abreast. Last Tuesday, I had the privilege of doing a state of 911 presentation to the Metroplex of Mayors Association. I was duped into believing I was just making a few comments and, and wind up arriving to find out I was the main presenter. But I enjoyed it. I had a chance to speak with a lot of mayors and city managers that were present about 911 in general, just where it came from, what software we use, how many 911 centers we have, how many calls we process, where technology is going. They had some great questions and got a lot of positive feedback. They said no one's ever done it before. So that was a pretty neat opportunity, and it allow them to ask some questions about some of the common ones, the ones we get from everyday citizens, like why can't, 911 find me? One person actually said the way they do on television. So it was neat to talk to them and to just help them to see what, not just Tarrant County, but Denton. We had a member of NCT 911 present as well. So what's going on in Northern Texas on the 911 front? So that was a nice privilege.
Shannara, what group was this?
The Metroplex Mayors Association.
That embraces Dallas-Fort Worth area?
My understanding, it's
primarily Dallas, but it also includes Arlington, Irving, and Fort Worth. I think those were the primary Tarrant County locations that I noticed on the list.
So it was well received. Had some great feedback on it. The very next day, I spent my afternoon in the zoning public hearing. I made the members of the board aware that we received a notification about the change of the zoning for our building. With the suggestion of our legal team, I went ahead and went to the hearing and presented our concerns. Essentially, it appears to be a downgrade in the value of our building and potentially a restriction on what we can do here, changing it from a kind of like a smaller commercial to a neighborhood commercial building. The thinking is, especially on our large class days, the amount of people that can be here regularly and all that kind of stuff were concerns that I had. Not just myself, there were quite a few concerns for this particular plot that was being re-zoned, and so because of that, they gave them a 30-day continuance and requested that the commissioners come and speak to us one-on-one about our concerns before they make a final decision. So I will be putting out, when that meeting happens, I'll make sure everybody's aware for those who wish to attend, to express our concerns over that rezoning.
So do we know what that means? That we can't have this large training session, or what is this?
We don't have an answer to that.
That, right.
That was a concern that I raised, is currently our zoning is FR, which the F is the most intense commercial zoning. The R is restriction on sale of alcohol, which shouldn't matter to us at all. But by downzoning us to E commercial district, which is a lighter intensity district, my main concern was we do more here than just office. We do training sessions and other things, and we need to make sure that the city understands. This is a city initiated rezoning of the entire neighborhood through here. But we need to make sure the city understands that our current use here needs to be protected by whatever zoning classification they put on this property up there. So that's something we're still looking at to determine that we're not going to be interrupted in our uses if we stay out here and continue operating the way we have been or as we envision we need to in the future. I also raise the issue that this is less important to the city, but typically the more intense zoning classification, you can get more value for the property if you sell it, because you might find a user who wants to use it for something that's allowed in the current zoning district but won't be allowed in the lighter commercial zoning district. So that's a concern too. Obviously, if we could convince Fort Worth to just leave the zoning as it is and convince them that our use is not going to adversely affect any of the surrounding properties here, they might be willing to back off on that. But our main concern is just to make sure we're protecting our right to use the property as we need to use it. That's number one priority.
And the thing was, and we don't know that this classification would change the use. Apparently the notification that the rezoning was going to happen went out over a year ago, and there were public hearings and meetings that we could have attended to express those concerns, but I did not get them. They came prior to my coming here, and I hadn't. The first notification I got was literally the public hearing a week ago, and so since we didn't really have a chance to address it outside of that hearing, then I wanted to make sure at least at the hearing my concerns were met. At the end of the day, we may be fine, but the concern is we don't know, and we need to make sure that, you know, we're covering, as I said in the hearing, that a continuity of operation is very important. We need to know how this will affect us.
If you start getting the runaround, you need me to get involved, let me know.
I will.
I'd be glad to push that to make sure that we're protected.
Will do. That is essentially all I have. Well, two things. One, the June meeting, I realize that meeting is scheduled during the NENA conference. Is there any concern with moving it to the following week? I believe it's the 24th of June.
I'm good. It's 24th. Anybody else?
I'm not good, but I have firearms training all day.
Anybody else?
I'm good.
What's the date again?
24th. June 24th.
I would do it the week before, but because it's in between the budget retreat and then generally I want to have the full budget plan, that shortens the amount of time that we, the district, have to get our final product out before we hit all the jurisdictions. So I would prefer not to do it the week before.
Sure. Okay. You're good? Okay. Rick, are you okay?
Yes, sir.
Doug, any conflict?
No, I'm good.
Mary?
I think I
okay. 24. Thank you, sir.
All right, and then the May meeting, last year we pushed the retreat out to June because the new kid on the block, but at May we should be good for it. But I would suggest instead of 9, make it 11. I think between 2 to 3 hours is more than sufficient. That will still get us out about 2 o'clock-ish.
Okay.
So if 11 is good for y'all, we will change it from 12 to 11 a.m.
Sounds good.
We'll still have lunch and coffee and all that good stuff.
And then what day is that?
The May 20th, I believe it is.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, that day we'll be here.
You won't be here?
I have a conference.
Okay. Anyone else?
Good.
Royce.
Yep.
Andy, you'll send out a new appointment for us?
We'll send out both as a reminder, get on your calendar.
Okay.
All right, that is what I have.
So have we corrected the financial?
Yes, the call is 5320, the description is wrong, and the statement of activity is 5320.
5320 is correct?
Yes.
Okay, motion is still on the table with a second. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Sorry, the first was Rick, the second was the mayor.
Aye.
On that motion?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So next, we're moving to the legislative update.
He's here in person, so I don't have to butcher it for him.
I'm here now. I don't have to tell you this, the big news in Austin right now is revolving around property taxes, property tax reform. Last week on Wednesday, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and speaker announced their support for a proposal to increase the state sales tax by 1 percentage point, provided that the legislature passed legislation to limit future property tax growth. The following day, on Thursday, the House was scheduled to take up its property tax bill, and as the day wore on, the House never took it up. And the speaker announced, we're going to wait and see what the Senate does before we take it up. Well, so all eyes were on the Senate. And essentially, the lieutenant governor was not able to get enough votes to take their property tax bill up that day. And just as a refresher, in the Senate, in order to debate a bill on the Senate floor, 3/5 of the members have to agree to do that. Every session, the Senate passes what's known as a blocker bill. The blocker bill is something usually innocuous, something very small, and it moves to the very top of the Senate intent calendar. And in order to take up bills out of order, 3/5 of the members of the Senate have to agree to do that. And over the weekend, you probably saw in the paper on the news, the lieutenant governor announced that he might be going for the nuclear option, which is pass the blocker bill. And if they pass the blocker bill, then the very next bill that would come up would be the Senate Property Tax Reform Bill. I've been in and around Austin for 19 years, and I've never heard it thought of that they would pass the blocker bill. I've been getting text messages and alerts. I believe the Senate is taking up their version of the property tax bill right now.
They are. They passed 19-12, so they're probably in favor of going ahead and bringing SB2 up.
Wow, instead of doing away with the blocker bill.
Instead of doing away with the blocker bill. So I was going to get here around 11:30, and they did it at about 11:40. Well, they actually did it at about 11:55 when they finally got finished debating it.
Okay.
And Senator said he would vote for it, but he would not support them.
Yeah, Senator Seliger from Amarillo was the lone holdout. Briefed you about him before. So now the House is I guess the House will probably be taking up their version today or tomorrow or at some point this week. The 911 bills that we're tracking, most of the bills that have been filed this session related to 911 all stem from Hurricane Harvey. They all have to do with disaster preparedness and Hurricane Harvey recovery. Most of them have to deal with things like developing standards for social media tools to be used in times of a disaster, developing an app to communicate disaster information between emergency personnel to victims, creating work groups to study training and credentialing for personnel, things like that. But we're tracking probably close to 40 bills total, 45, 46, somewhere in there. But almost all of them have to do with somewhat related to Hurricane Harvey. I know that last time I was out here, and Shinar briefed you on House Bill 534 by Representative Guerin. That bill would add emergency services dispatcher to the list of persons eligible to participate in a public safety court treatment program. That bill passed out of committee the week before last. It received no negative comments. In fact, the chair was extremely complimentary of that bill. It moves on to the calendars committee, and I expect the calendars committee to vote that out anytime now. Move it on to the House floor. Another bill I want to talk to you guys about, and it's one Shinar briefed you on last month, was House Bill 2802 by Representative Darby. Representative Darby has had this issue for several sessions where he is aggravated that we have all of these state mandated fees that build up these fund balances, and those funds are either not spent or they're not spent for the purposes at which they're dedicated. And so for many years, he has been trying to work to reduce those fund balances down. This year, when he filed his bill, it included the 50-cent monthly 911 fee. And it was not a requirement to move it down. It was more of a permissive type thing where it gave CSEC permission to reduce that fund balance down if CSEC determined 911 entities would still have adequate funding to provide services. Now, this past week, he laid his bill out in the Appropriations Committee, and he said, this bill is a work in progress. After talking to CSEC and 911 stakeholders, we're going to make changes to this bill, including the 911 part of it. He understands that we don't need to be included in that bill. So that's not something we're going to keep an eye on and continue to talk to his office, but it's not something it was extremely concerning when he first filed it.
So if he does move, I've had some interaction with him in the past over gas wells.
Excellent.
So if we need to reach out.
Absolutely. And at this point, I think we're okay, but that's something I want to keep on the back burner for sure. And then the last thing, the 911 Alliance, their big issue this session was a wireless fee increase. This session, you're going to have a hard time finding a member to pass a bill that's going to increase your wireless fee on that phone bill. You know, the first thing I would do in the political world is have a candidate who create a mail piece saying he just increased your phone bill. You know, so there's no appetite for that. However, we have had a good response from members who want to create an interim study, and they understand that we're moving to next generation. We've got to have the funding to do that, and I expect to see an interim study coming up, and then from that, we will probably have bills filed by the House and Senate. But
so. No one's, you haven't identified a sponsor or anything like that yet?
I know that Senator Hancock has talked to the 911 Alliance lobbyists about heading that study. That's not definite yet, but something we're working on. And then that's really all I have, unless anybody has any questions about particular bills or issues down there. It's been school finance and property taxes this entire session, and I expect for the last 6 weeks it is going to be fully property taxes, that and the budget.
That interim study, the intent is to get it out of this session as an interim study?
The intent is to be able to create the process so that we have the interim study
going on,
and then for the next session you can have bills filed and support pushing those bills.
Well, that's a good strategy because future costs are coming.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Senator Hancock's work, we've been very brief on that. So.
Okay, great.
Yes,
thank
and
you, sir.
On that interim study, mm-hmm. I think it would be really good for them to also look at and consider those Internet of Things devices that are coming out onto the market, they're going to be able to call 911.
Yeah.
That we can't capture the people right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any executive item?
Yes, sir.
Issues? Executive session items. Okay. So public comment. Anyone for the public here? All right. Seeing none, do we have a motion for adjournment?
Move.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.